in the warfare that's going on in this world, praise God. And we do that because of our faith. We get things established. How many knows that we can live a no-limit life? Go awful quiet. Hallelujah. See, how big is God? Is he a big God? I mean, he's a big, big God. I mean, Bible says that our God, our Father, is able to do exceeding abundantly above, greater than we can think or ask. That's a pretty big statement. Pretty big statement. And so way back in my life, and I constantly stir myself up in things that I have revelation. You can have revelation and you can lay it down. You can lay it down. You can lay your dreams and goals down because of adversity, because of the way you feel and all of that, and limit the Lord. And he proved it out in Psalm 78. He had given them promise over there. A guy was talking with me the other day, and he's talking about the children of Israel and all of that stuff, you know, and I said, and we just fellowship a little bit. I said, what God did is God seen his people in bondage like he did us without Jesus. He seen us in bondage. I said, and he sends his word down there to them through a man named Moses. He said, go down there and give them vision. He didn't tell him that, wrote out in the Bible, but he said, go down there and tell them that I'm going to take them to a place flowing with milk and honey, with houses they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, wells they'll drink out of. He went down there. I said, what God was doing, I said, and still doing today, is he brings vision to his people through the word, the preaching of the word, testimonies, you know, and all of that, to bring vision that God can get you to the promised land. I said, what that does, that's why I'm so really, really big on the word of God, you know. I mean, because faith comes by hearing. Faith to believe that I'm healed. Faith to believe that I can prosper. Faith to believe that my marriage can stand the test of time. Hallelujah. Faith to believe that the ministry that God has put us into be unwavering, moving forward, advancing as the coming of the Lord gets closer. See, the word keeps us to where we don't limit God. The Bible says that they limited the Holy One of Israel with unbelief. See, they simply quit believing God. See, and once a person quits believing God, inspired to go forward and move forward, they begin to lose ground. They will lose ground. They won't advance. They won't dream. They won't believe. They won't sow seed. But you know what? I was thinking about the blessing of Abraham. The Bible says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through the Spirit. And it did. He came in us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, brought and put in and activated into our lives when we yielded to him the blessing. The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. See, he told Abraham, he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham was 75 years old and they couldn't have kids. True story. But the Bible says in Romans over there, Abraham staggered not concerning the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, counting that God was able to perform that he had promised. I have people, you know, because, I mean, we're in the arena that I'm in, been in a long time, called into the ministry, and I got a short haircut today. That lady got talking about Jesus, and I mean cut inch by inch. 45-minute haircut. She's never, 9 minutes, and that woman's usually got me a haircut. Man, we got talking about Jesus up in there. I think her husband got under conviction. He just got up I don't think he's really active, but he might be. But I mean, he's like a little fidgety boy in there, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. But you know what? I got my hair cut lady, she said, I mean, I believe in the power of God. I said, you better believe in the power of God. I said, he's all we got in this dark world that we live in, but he's all we need. I said, in these signs, Mark 16:17, these signs follow me. Now, you know, that might sound a little braggadocious, but I believe that. That's not braggadocious. The Bible says, in him we move, breathe, and have our being. That puts us in a place when we're engaged in faith and moving forward with the Lord. That puts us in a place where we're never strapped and we're never limited by anything. See, an individual, the blessing will come on an individual through Jesus. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It will come on an individual through despite people. In spite of people. Or it'll come on a group like us, or it'll come on a county like us, or it'll come on a nation, or on the world. Hallelujah. But I looked at that lady, I don't even know her name. I looked at her, I said, but God needs voices in this earth. I said, he needs hands and feet. I know we sang it in Sunday school, but we got to walk and march. We've had enough come against us in 2 years at this church. If it could have took us under, it would, but it can't. Hallelujah. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? See, God, whenever we're believing God, I remember when the Lord told me to start a church down here. And I realized that to have any kind of service I was already doing it illegal and didn't know it. I was having a Bible study on Tuesday night, and this land was zoned residential, and you're not allowed to have church services unless it's a house. You know, you can have a house that's your own, but as far as a public. And so I go and find out. I go to the mayor and I said, what do I need to do? I said, the Lord wants me to open the church down here. He said, well, you're going to have to get the church rezoned. I said, well, what do I need to do? So anyhow, I started through the process, and they sent out letters to anybody that lives within 500 foot of this building. They sent letters to them, the owners, not the income, the apartments and stuff rented out, to the owners. And I had to wait till their response. Every one of them denied it. Not gonna let it happen. I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm talking about a no-limit life. See, I am fixed as far as in the natural. There's nothing I can do because I have $300 to start this church. $300. That's all I had is $300. And I used it and put plywood on the ceiling back there, so didn't leave me much change left. And so I told him, I said, look, man, I said, what do I do next? I said, do I have to get a lawyer to get my bill where I can start a church? And I said, never mind, I know what to do. He said, you're going to have to come before the meeting next month, the building meeting. He said, and told me what day it was. And you know, I said, okay, that's fine. And so from then, it seemed like about a month, I felt grieved. I felt sad. I felt oppressed. I felt I can't do the will of God. You know, it don't matter if it started a church or your marriage, or, you know, God wants you to prosper, or he wants you to have good health, or it don't really matter. God's the covenant, the blessing of Abraham is a covenant that God has brought down to us through Jesus, and you can read it in Deuteronomy 28. That's the covenant. If you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to do all that I command you, all these blessings will come on you. And that's the blessing. The blessing is an empowerment. That's simply what it is. It's an empowerment from the Lord to bring success into our life, in our finances, in our marriage, in our ministry, with our kids, with our grandkids, with our ministry. Every one of us has ministry. Every one of us. You may not have a pulpit ministry or you know, you may not, I mean, you know, but you've got, the Bible says every one of us has been given the ministry of reconciliation. We bring people to Jesus. We present the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Whenever we run across people, you know, and we feel an unction on the inside, you know, we let that out. And that is reconciliation. That's bringing them to the Lord. But anyways, I went on. Now the battle began in my mind and in my heart and all about God. I started having these thoughts. Maybe God didn't tell me, man. Things are not lining up. And I made that statement to tell you that you cannot ever go by whether things are working out or not in the natural to determine the will of God for your life. Ever. Ever. We don't put out fleeces. God, if it's your will, 5 red trucks will pass by my house in 45 minutes. I did that one time. Mac 4 did. And then I give God 10 more minutes. Well, when that other red truck didn't come, I lost vision. Maybe it wasn't the Lord. Maybe it wasn't the Lord. And then it wasn't too long after that I heard a sermon about that. Do not make promises to the Lord. Gideon was lost. And I thought, man. Then I thought, oh yeah, the scripture says in Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. They're led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. Times you don't even know you're led by the Spirit. You think, I don't want to go to church. And then you think, I'm going to church, man. I might miss something. Now you're led by the Spirit. You get up and follow that. Then when you do, here comes the power. Here comes the anointing. Here comes revelation. Here comes grace. Here comes favor. Whether you feel like it or not. See, we're in this thing for with a relationship. We're walking with God. We're not trying to get a relationship with God. We are walking with the Lord. Christ in you. He's already with us. He is in us. His promises are yes and amen. And when we are believing that and believing him, we cause God to be unlimited at the miracles and things that he can bring into our life to bless us what we're believing for. Well, I go on, and I remember I was turning left on 79 at Brooksville. I had to go to check a job or something up in Gunnersville up there. And I turned left there at Brooksville, and this was on my mind. What's going to happen when I get in there? Man, what's wrong with these heathens, you know? And blah, 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 things are going in my mind, you know. I thought, I want to go get a gun and go down there and just jack them all up right quick. But how many knows our weapons are not carnal? They're mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds. And so I just out loud, I cast that thing over on the Lord. I said, hey, Lord, I said, here, I'm giving this to you. This is your problem. I'm going to believe you to use me, but I'm limited without you, but with you all things are possible if I believe. And so I wouldn't turn loose of God's promise to me. I knew he told me to come down here and start this. I knew it. Still know it today. Even more convinced today than I was 21 years ago. because I can see that we are in the beginning stages of the glory of God here in on this world. The Bible says when he comes back, he's coming back after a glorious church. That's not a weak, sick, oppressed church. That is not empty churches. That is churches that are full. Look, he is going to establish his covenant with you that this world sees that God is with us. God is for us. We're going to be well. We're going to be well. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be prosperous. He did it with Jacob in the Bible. The enemy envied him. They got mad at him first, then they envied him, then they wanted him back. He had to leave. The blessing moved in where it was Isaac. That's where he sowed in Genesis. In that place where God told him, don't go down to Egypt. See, God's telling his people all over, especially here, I don't know about everywhere else, but he's telling us, stand still and see the salvation of your God. Well, I would cast that thing over on the Lord. I wouldn't even consider it no more. I considered it done. I considered it done according to Mark 11, 24, 21 years ago. I counted this church raised up by the power of God. And I wouldn't back off no matter what everybody around it was saying. I told God, I said, you're speaking it, God, and you roll back the Red Sea. You shut the mouths of lions, hallelujah. You quenched the fire for them all through Hebrews 11. These people went out to do your will, and they met adversity, but that adversity put them on top. Well, you know what? I told Teresa, it was on Tuesday night. I told her, I said, I'm not calling off the Bible study we was having. I said, you just get it started, I'll be right on down there. And I had to be down here at the city hall, man. We started, or 6:30. Might have been 6:30. And so I go in there, make a long story short, I sat between two men that was out of, they wasn't from around Buntsville. They was on building committees that goes to different cities and things like that and gives them and looks at what people's wanting to start businesses and gives them advice whether it would benefit that city or whatever the case might be. They just giving them information is what they do at building committee. Well, I sat down between these two guys and they brought the case up, brought it up. I think it was like the first one. They brought it up about this church. And they said, who all opposed? And everybody's hand in the house went up. And I'm sitting there and I felt like I'm backed into a corner and I got wolves all looking at me, man. They're all looking at me. And I'm just sitting there bold. I'm looking at them. And they had to give their reason. Well, got around one old man, old man. He said, we don't need one down there because he's liable to open an old folks home. And I nearly stood up and said, you're the first one going to need it if I do, old man. But I didn't. I held my peace. I mean, they give all the reasons, and it was dumb answers. And then this one guy, when they got done, this guy on my left side, he said, I don't see the problem. He said, a church? He said, man, that's going to help this community. That's going to, and I don't remember what. Then this other one, he spoke up. By the time he got done, I wanted to get up. Boy, whoo, man, I could feel God in there. I knew God had showed up in these two men. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I knew before the judge went bam, that it was fixing to happen. Why? Because I wouldn't turn loose of the promise. I wouldn't turn loose. The adversity, the feelings, the emotions, and then when you tell people, well, I'd go fight them. I'd blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I keep going back and reverting back to the Scripture. How many knows that's a good thing for me and you to do in times of adversity, to revert back to the Scripture so that we don't limit our God. And you know what? He got done, and he said, I don't really see a problem. with it. Like that, and then the mayor, he said, how many opposes? Not a hand went up. I believe they was trying to get loose. I believe they was trying. I believe there was something in there that they could not lift their hands. Then he said, okay, how many approves? And everybody in the place went, and the mayor went, so be it, done. I'll see y'all later. Out. Got down here. Boy, had a good old time. See, the Lord wanted me to tell you that story. I could have limited God, and he would have had to go another route to get this thing moving. All it took was one man to stand, and God say, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And it took that one man not staggering concerning what God said. Now, if God said you're the head, not the tail in Deuteronomy, well, then wait on it. If he said you'll lend and not borrow, then wait on it. Don't whine in the middle. Don't look at the rain. Don't look at the clouds. Don't look at your checkbook. Don't look at the government. Don't look at the economy. Don't look at the gas pumps. Don't look at raviolis are $2 a can. Just eat all you want of them. Go in there and say, glory to God. I'll eat all of you I want to in Jesus' name. Talk to it. Don't let it talk to you. It's talking to you, God. I'm high. I'm high. I'm high. Yes, I'm high. I went over today and I said, like that, and I thought, man, I need some oil going that backhoe. And I got it started in my truck, you know, and I thought, well, I ain't got time to stand here and pump this gas, man. I got to go in there, man. So I go in there and forgot all about my gas pumping out there, Mac. It was $3.39 a gallon. I think it's what it was, 29 or 39. Well, the thought hit me in there, God, still pumping. That's going to be $100 I get back out there, man. Well, and I was going to go, hurry, man, come on. And then I thought, what's wrong with you? What's the matter? Let it run out in the parking lot. You know, don't let that talk to you. So I just calmed down, paid for it, got back out there, and I was like, oh, praise God, hallelujah. Didn't fill it up. Hey, got plenty for the next couple of days. Got in there and gone. Where I could have said, oh, Lord, you know fuel's high down here, God. I fill up now and it takes $65, God. That was $20 when Trump was in. Come on, somebody. They're doing it. They're absolutely doing it. They're letting the economy and all of that. I know that it's taking more money. Big deal. But my God will supply all of my needs, right? Come on, it's a promise. He said, I'll supply. He didn't say if Trump's in there and it's $1.45 a gallon. He don't say that. He says if it goes to $5 a gallon, he says, but my God shall supply all of my. That's what I look at. That's what you look at. That's what we look at. Well, my body feels weak. Well, the Bible says, let the weak what? Say that I'm strong. Don't say it. The Bible said, let the weak say that I'm strong. He didn't say you're always going to feel strong. He didn't say you're not ever going to be challenged. I mean, there's Christians out there, why am I going through this? Why? And I'm like, why not? Why not? This is trying to make you a woman or a man. Ty reminds me of David in the Bible. He's about 13 years old, man. Now, he's a little older now. But every one of us young folk need to have a boldness for the promises. Get in that Bible. Meditate on that Bible. That fire gets in whosoever will. Let him come. That fire get in. I've seen them teenagers up yonder. We had a youth ministry up there. I went in there. They said, we want you to come and minister to the teens. I went, Lord, I said, I'm an evangelist. See, I mean, I thought, I'm an evangelist. I mean, teens, man, how you going to preach? I don't want to get down there in their world. I don't know how they think, man. I thought, worked up as a teenager, you know. You know what the Lord told me? He said, you preach the same thing to them as you do the adults. He said, my Bible don't change from 6 years old to 80. He said, my Bible puts everybody in there. And so you know what? I went in there, but God, and they was eating and all that in class. And I told them, I said, "Put y'all eat. I said, don't come back in here and eat next week. Eat breakfast before you get here. I said, that smacking and all that rattling is getting on my nerves. I was about 25 or 26 then, so I'm like, man, y'all, I told him, I said, y'all go pay attention in here, up in here.
Yes, sir, Brother Scotty.
Well, that next time I went in there, they're all sitting there at attention. I said, who wants to pray a sin? Like that, you know. I told him, I said, hey, man. Saturday, I told you to start us off. I said, you want to get us started off? I don't know how. I said, why not? I said, you've been watching me for 8 years. And he stuck his head back in the door and he said, has it been that long? I said, yeah, it's been that long. I said, y'all better be paying attention. I'm going to come in and tell you, start it off. I'm just a teenager. So was David, killed a bear, killed a lion, took that sheep out of the mouth of that lion and slayed it. 13, teenager. They say he was cute. Y'all are dangerous to the enemy. Young and old, we're dangerous to the enemy. All we got to do is live and think and breathe and meditate on a no-limit life. We don't have no limits. The only limit we have, if it's God says don't go, God says don't do, God says don't. That's the only limit. Now, we got to stop then. We got to say, okay, God, I ain't going without you. See, we got to make sure that we don't limit the Lord. How many knows God's people can live a life where there is no limits? I don't care. I know when you get sick and your body and tagged and all that. I know. I'm not saying none of that's not real. I'm not saying that. But I am saying I done went through it and I done bleed my way through it and come out stronger through a open heart surgery. I put it to the test and I wore it out. I'm stronger physically, spiritually, and everything 3 years later. I am in better shape physically than I have been since I was 45 years old. And I attribute it to not just a made-up mind. I am a quitter without God. I quit my marriage. I quit work. I quit. I mean, I was just, that was my name, quit. Everything but drugs. I quit everything but drugs. And I was dedicated to that, man. You know? And I got born again, and I had this God-given desire, didn't know it then, to never quit again. I don't want to quit my marriage. I don't want to quit my job. See, greater is He. That came on the inside of me, and it's on the inside of me and you right now. We ain't going to quit fighting sickness and disease. We're not going to quit fighting things, flu. All of this comes up. People get upset because, I mean, you know, I put it on the internet. Come on down here to Faithway Christian Center. The Bible says in Psalms 91, I just quoted the scripture. The Bible says in Psalms 91 that no plague will come nigh our dwelling. I said, we have the shield of faith up. So come on down. People got upset. That's Scotty. He's putting people's lives at danger down there. God caused me to get in trouble, Matt. I didn't write that Bible. I just said it. Well, there wouldn't be no need in saying it if they wasn't a plague, right? So when the plague comes, let's get on the word. Let's get on it. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. I wouldn't get down in my living room and say, oh, please, would you please protect me from the plague, the COVID God, or, you know. I just wouldn't do it. I got up and I said, I come against you in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not touch this body. You will not touch that church. You will not. Some got it. Well, that's not my fault. Come on, I'm going to preach this word if everybody gets it. Right? If you do get it, you can get faith with the word to come on out of it. Right? That wasn't the first. They tell me all the time on that TV that when you get over 50 that you've got shingles in you and they're liable to explode in you any minute. And I usually tell that TV, you liar. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. Only with my eyes. Y'all telling me all them it gets it after 50. See that? I mean, look, that's really not being extreme. But to the world and to carnal people, this Bible in us, when we're walking it out, will look extreme to them. It will be, I mean, I've had people, oh, that Scotty, he lives on the edge. And I told the guy, he said, man, you live on the edge. I said, no, I like it out on the limb. God has hold me up. I said, I like it when I'm out there where I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just got confidence in God. I said, because then I got confidence, you know. I said, I told one guy one time, I said, the Bible says, and he come back and he said, man, is that all you can say is the Bible says? And I said, well, have you got a satanic Bible? It says, do what you want to anytime you want to. Just do what you will. Whatever feels good, do it. I said, it would feel good for me to punch you right now. But my Bible says, love you. Because you're getting on my nerves because I've got faith in God. I don't mean to get on people's nerves. You won't mean to get on people's nerves. The Bible says you're going to do it. You're going to irritate your enemy. You won't mean to. It don't mean you're mean. It just means you're going to believe God and you're going to have God's promises. You're going to walk in the love of God. I've had people get mad because I wouldn't punch them. Come on, man. You used to fight. You used to fight. And I'd be like, man, don't try to provoke me. You're liable to get in the flesh. And then I would lay you out, man. I watched my brother. I learned how to do it. He did the uppercut stuff. And so my dad always taught me the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So I thought them biggins, they're going down a lot harder. Then they're going to take them a lot longer to fall, and then I got time to run over and jump on them before they hit the ground, man. I thought that would be like a little baby rooster on them. Well, see, we can't operate in that kind of thinking anymore. We have to forgive. That's man. That's godly. That's strong. It takes a strong man to forgive when somebody does you wrong. It takes a strong man or woman of God when you're being persecuted to forgive them right quick. And they don't know what they're doing, you know, just like Jesus. He said it and he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen did it. They were stoning them. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. That word in the Greek, abundant, means to the full, till it overflows, nothing missing, nothing broken. You go study it for yourself. That's what the Greek meaning of John 10:10. It says to the full, till it overflows. And then it cross-references nothing missing, nothing broken. That means, black God, if sickness is attacking me, then I'm going to be nothing missing, nothing broken. I'm going to stand on that word till I'm to the full, overflowing. I read Psalms 23 one time, and it said he set a table for me in the presence of my enemy. My cup runs over. I thought, glory to God, if David can do it, greater is he now. David wasn't even saved. He wasn't even born again. Nobody got born again to the book of Acts. The church started as we know it in the book of Acts, where the Spirit of God came in people then, instead of on them and with them, came in us. That's how come it really, we stay fired up on the inside about the Lord and the things of the Lord and believe in God, just like my tractor. I mean, I believe God that he would rebuke the devourer for me. I fixed my tractor. They wanted $10,000. I fixed my tractor with 20 bucks, man. God told me today, he said, you ever get your tractor fixed? Did they ever get your tractor fixed? I said, no, they didn't. And I thought, I'm not getting on that roll either. So I'll start complaining about them. I said, no, they didn't. I said, the Lord helped me out. I was believing God for wisdom. I wasn't going to quit, but God. And I did that tractor, and then the mechanic out there, I went out there and welded a piece, and he said, what are you doing? I told him the story. And that guy over there, he stood up, his brother stood up, and he said, I'm telling you right now, that man right there can fix stuff with J.B. Weld. He fixes radiators, and they last for years. Then that mechanic, he said, I'm telling you right now, if anybody can rig something and make it work, it's that man right there. I mean, he makes things work. I can't figure out how he does it. I said, you know how I do it, man? I said, because they said it can't be done. I said, in my Bible, don't say that. So I brought out Jesus right in the middle of that. Give credit to him. I'm not that smart. I'd have done burn it. Man, it done put me through 5 months. I went through 5 months with this, Mac. See, that's why I come up here and I preach. We have to build endurance. We have to work patient. Let patience have its perfect work so that we are entire, lacking nothing. So that I didn't give in for the $3,500. I can sell that tractor now. It ain't got none of that on it. No computer. What man wouldn't want that one? You can't shut him down. Only thing, shut him down, run out of fuel, and that's it. Well, you know what? God rebuked the devourer for me. God had me, it cost me $20 in about 6 hours. Well, that mechanic, I was just riding it around yesterday, Mac, in my yard, around. I'm just enjoying it. I'm raising the bucket up and down. Everybody probably thinks I'm crazy. But I'm riding on the blessing. I'm just riding around in my yard, up the hill, back down the hill, turning the blinkers on and the lights and blowing the horn. And, you know, and I mean, I'm just, Then that mechanic comes and he pulls off the road in front of me. He said, man, it's working, ain't it? I said, sure, it's working. He said, did you know you could make a lot of money? I said, yeah, how? He said, fix everybody's tractor like you did that one. I said, you're the mechanic, I'm not. You do it. I said, I can give you details of how to do it now. I don't have to go through trial and error. See, that's the way we are when we walk with the Lord and we whoop some devils and we get our marriage on top and our finances and we see God move and then we get them by the hand and we say, we know how to get there. We know the man that brought us there. We got experience. We know it can be done. Nothing is impossible. See, we have confidence in the Lord. See, you might be going through and you might think, boy, life just not good right now. Just hang on, sweetheart. Just hang on. Hang on to the promises. Don't start crying. Don't lay down. Don't get your white flag out. Get the red, white, and blue, and I'm an American. And God put me in America. God bless America. The land of the free. Whatever it goes, I can't sing it, Mac. I just know parts of it. Hallelujah. God put us here. We're here in Bluntsville. We're not here by chance. The Bible says in Psalms 36, I believe it is, it says the steps of the righteous are ordained of the Lord. Then I believe that's Psalms 36 where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to him, and he will bring these miracles to pass. See, it's hard for people to do it, Matt, because they feel normal. They feel natural. You know, as soon as they get home, they hear a good sermon like this. And then they get home, and they get a phone call. Aunt Fanny's about dead. Oh, it's pitiful. She's in such pain. And I mean just that godly service you just came out of. Just sucked her right out. Then you go to bed, oh God, I felt good till I got that phone call. See, you've got to come to the place where when you get that phone call, whatever it might be, they say, Aunt Fanny's in bad shape. And they say, you say, glory to God, hallelujah. That gives my God an opportunity to show how big he really is. We're going to call on him, and I'm going to be... Somebody sent me a message, can I call you when you're not busy? I said, sure. I thought, well, I don't know when that's going to be. They said, tomorrow. And I said, that's fine. So they hit me up today. Are you busy? And I said, not at the moment. Call me right now, because I'm fixing to be studying, and then I'll be busy. So I was in a little break there. They didn't want to call, so they wanted to text. And I'm like, man, I can say more in a minute than I can text in 30. I'd rather talk, you know. Well, I was just wondering, we got all our bills due and blah, 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 blah. Nobody knew. That's what I felt like. You know, and then I thought, well, and I said, I ain't got no work for you. And I didn't say I ain't got no money, because I got money. So, I said, I ain't got none for you. Ain't got no money for you. And I don't need anything. I said, why don't y'all come to church? Now I'm trying to get them in here where they get their finances met. Right? Trying to get them in here where they can hear what we've been hearing tonight and feel what we're feeling and go and say, glory to God, my bills ain't nothing. I got faith in God. God's bigger than my body. God's bigger than my bills. God's bigger than this that I'm facing. Giant. And so they said, well, I don't know if it'll be this Sunday, but it might be next Sunday. And I thought, well, if you make it two more weeks, you're really going to be broken. I said, okay, gonna pray for you. And I prayed for them. I got off the phone and I prayed for them. I said, God, touch them right now, Lord. They connected themselves to me, Lord, and this right here, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every principality and power. God, stir them on the inside of them that they want to come after you, Lord, because I was broke too. I didn't have no bill money either, God. I was sick, God. My marriage was messed up, God, and you have brought it all. I was like Humpty to Dumpty, fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Fell all apart, I guess. Something like that. Wasn't it Humpty Dumpty? Well, God, he takes our shattered lives. He takes even the things that looks like is just going to destroy us as we walk with him, and he shuts the mouths of the lions. He quenches fire, hallelujah. He causes the enemy that rises up against us to be smitten before us. He causes the sinners to fear us. Not afraid like we're going to punch them or nothing. Have a reverence for us because we walk with God, and they know that if they mess with us, they have to mess with our God. So I want to encourage you tonight. You know, no matter what is going on in your life, stay focused on not limiting God. Stay focused on that. Stay focused on the promises of God. Make quality decisions. Until we make quality decisions based on the Word of God, we don't never get stable and sat down and not moved. Teresa's going to bring it up probably in the next Sunday school. She's bringing out some good stuff, a little correction in it and all that, and that's good. All that's good. You know, but she's talking about faith, and she's talking about, you know, and that, just like I brought it up, you know, faith, when revelation comes, faith rises up and causes you to be dedicated. It brings dedication to the Lord, not to really things, but you'll see it in the other. You'll feel that responsibility, and you'll feel God's going to bless me, I'm responsible, you know. But I started looking at the numbers one time, and I got discouraged, and found myself in the bed one Sunday morning. Preacher coming there, woke me up, and time to get up. And I said, I'm not going to church. I'm the pastor, man. I said, I'm not going to church. Oh, them people down there. I said, they don't go when they don't want to. I said, so I'm just not going. They'll find out when they get there the pastor ain't here. Now, I wasn't right. So I laid there, you know, and she's, oh God, you know. So she comes down here and puts a note on the door. No church today. No church this morning. No church tonight. Stuck it on the doormat. She's taking care of everybody, you know. So she gets back home, you know, let's go to church. I said, I'm not going to church. I don't want to go to church. How many knows when you're in a wrong spirit and you're out of faith, you don't want to go to church. You will start to disobey the Lord. You will start to get, I'm getting disobedient now because he's told me to come do this. So now because I'm out of faith, I'm getting out of faith by looking at circumstances, the way it feels, the way it could be if everybody, it don't matter whatever your circumstances are, they can take you there if you meditate on them. Meditate on trouble. Meditate on finance. Meditate on what you ain't got. Don't be thankful for stuff. You know, be thankful where you're at. Be thankful for your pork and beans if that's all you got. Just be thankful to the Lord. Before you know it, those pork and beans will turn into pintos. Then them pintos will turn into northern. And then you can get some butter beans. You can mix them all up then. You won't be stuck with them pork and beans. You'll have all kind of beans. And so I'm laying there, Mac, and I thought, man, I better go to church because if she backslides again, hey, she backslid one time. Man, that's not good. I don't want my wife backslid, especially Teresa. I need her in there with Jesus. Woo! Where Jesus has got the wheel. So I thought, oh, man, she backslides, it's going to be on me. I thought I better get up, at least go to church. She go to church with her up there. I get up and I told her, I said, well, give me some clothes. I said, I'm going to go to church. I only went because I didn't want her to backslide right quick. That's not good. And it'd be on account of me. Woe unto those who the stumbling block, the Bible says. He said, whatever you do unto one of my little ones, you do to me, he says. And I know that word. So anyways, I get up. I did it really out of my love for her. And so I go up there, and Bradley gets up, you know. And I thought to myself, they better not. Nobody at that church asked me what I'm doing up here because it ain't their business. I was in the flesh, Mac. I'm only up here if my wife makes sure. What I'm saying is, see, I got out of faith, so I'm disobedient now. I'm getting disobedient to the Lord. I'm not praying. I don't want to pray. I don't want to believe. I don't want to go forward. I don't want to fight. Just leave me alone. And if you get that feeling, you better do some praying. Do some repenting right quick. Get it back in there. Well, anyhow, he gets up there, and he said, if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be you've lost your motivation. I thought, great. I've lost my motivation. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. I'm just sitting there, great, lost your motivation. I thought I'd come up here and hear a good sermon. Well, went on there and I'm sitting there. Then he's got an anointing on his life, you know. How many knows that we got an anointing on our life? You know, when we are walking with the Lord, we can change people's lives for the better, man. We carry an anointing from the Lord. All of us carry it. That anointing gets us on top of things, find everything. Well, after about 15 minutes, he kept saying it, you know. Blah, 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 and you'll lose your motivation. Blah, blah, blah. He had a sermon on motivation. After about 15 minutes, it hit me. I mean, it just hit me on the inside, and I thought, glory to God, that's all that's wrong with me, is I've lost my motivation. That's all. That's all that's wrong. See, revelation came. Stirred me right quick. That's how come church is very important, y'all Facebook land people. Very important. You don't get the effects at home as you do in the corporate anointing in any church. If your church is open, you need to be there all over. Y'all listening to me, a lot of people listen to us. Anyways, I go back, man, I'm rounding everybody up, Mac. I'm going to their houses and everything. Lord of God, God's a good God. And they're like, he's alive again. He's alive. It ain't never happened to me again. because I thought that'll never happen to me again. But God, I'm going to keep my eyes on me. I'm on the Lord. I'm not going to get them on me and how I feel and what the church looks like, what it sounds like, and all around. I'm not going to do it again. See, and you know what? If you don't let water in a ship, you can't sink it. But if water fills that ship up, it'll sink it. Well, we got to keep stuff out. We got to keep our faith up. We got to stay focused on the Lord. And I know the peer pressure at school. I don't know it, but I mean, you know, y'all in school, you don't have to be in competition with people to try to fit in. You need to go with the confidence that they need to be around you. And if they don't, they're missing out. You need to go with that confidence. Well, I might have to sit alone. You ain't never alone. The Bible says Jesus will never leave you nor ever forsake you. He will be with you all the way to the end. And you are popular already with him. And you talk to him. You tell him how you feel. You tell him what you want. You tell him if you have emotional issues, you know. Go to him. Don't go to your little peers. Oh, well, you better go to see Dr. Oz. He's got some pills for that. We got some pills called gospel. The word is medicine to all of our flesh, the Bible says. See, now, I mean, what I'm saying right here, most Christians that I know, they say, well, that's the way Scotty is. You know, he's just a little overboard on this word deal. Really? That's why I ain't staying sick. That's why I ain't staying broke. That's why I did not borrow. Hallelujah. That's how come I'm the head, not the tail. That Bible brings you to that place. So I want to encourage you. Don't live. You got to renew your mind to think I'm going to live a no-limit life. I'm not going to limit what God can bring me to and bring me through. I'm going to look to him in everything that I face. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you will see more of the glory of God than you ever thought you would see. Because the Bible says that he'll not hold one good thing from us when we walk upright before him. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.